Airline delays got ugly over Thanksgiving. Responders may now be underusing Maryland's medevac helicopters. And a tale of two NIMBY battles. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, December 2nd, 2008. The Bush administration tried hard to create an expectation that airline travel would be smooth over the U.S. Thanksgiving holiday. Airline on-time performance was tracking well, fewer planes would be flying, and special holiday openings of airspace normally reserved for the military were expanded this year. The airline said none of that would matter if the weather didn't cooperate, and it turned out they were right. Things went great Tuesday through Friday. Flights arrived on time 80% of the time for the period as a whole, and over 90% on Thursday and Friday. Saturday was off a little, but still close to 80%. But then, on Sunday, predicted to be the heaviest travel day of the year, it rained and snowed in the Northeast and Midwest. Fewer than 50% of flights arrived on time, and over 29% arrived more than 44 minutes late. And the people on delayed flights, they were the lucky ones. A bunch of flights were canceled outright on Sunday. FlightStats.com reported some of the worst numbers came out of the world's busiest airport. Hartsfield-Jackson International in Atlanta saw on-time arrivals drop to 29% on Saturday, then to just 12% on Sunday. Maybe over the river and through the woods is a better idea after all. You can find more detail on the on-time numbers from other big U.S. airports in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. A panel of emergency medical officials meeting last week in Maryland to review medevac operations discussed an observation that the September 28th crash of a Eurocopter in poor weather conditions and the resulting four casualties has made dispatchers reluctant to use helicopters. Dr. Douglas J. Flaccari, director of aeromedical operations in Maryland, told the Baltimore Sun, quote, "I'm concerned right now that there are some patients that should be flown to trauma centers that are not," unquote. The Maryland accident has highlighted a debate in which the state's centralized management of EMS helicopters has been criticized for dispatching helicopters to transport patients with relatively minor injuries. Until recently, ambulance crews had wide latitude to call for helicopters. Now they're required to consult with a hospital if patients show no outward sign of injury. Following the policy change, the number of patients being transported by helicopter in Maryland has fallen by more than half. The Palm Beach International Airport in Florida has had to fight for its existence as a civilian airport more than once. After opening in 1936 as a single runway with only a small administration building, the airport was twice commandeered for use as a military base, once during World War II and again during the Korean conflict. Finally, in 1960, the 2,000-acre site was officially taken over by Palm Beach County. But this time, the airport faces a battle against NIMBYs, the Palm Beach Post newspaper, and even Donald Trump's lawyers. At issue is a plan to extend the airport's smallest runway, 9 right, 27 left, from 3,000 to at least 8,000 feet long, adding capacity for airlines that are currently limited to the 10,000-foot 9 left, 27 right. The Post says that will harm hundreds of homes and criticizes the airport for using unrealistic growth projections to justify the project. The paper adds that 64% of the traffic there is general aviation, not airliners, and paints GA as toys of the rich. One of the NIMBYs is Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago, which lies under the flight path for the parallel runways. Trump attorney Neil McAlee has lobbied the FAA to consider peak hour pricing to reduce congestion. West Palm Beach's Vedado neighborhood is under the flight path and is applying for status as a National Historic District, in part to bog down the environmental impact assessment process for the airport expansion. Can organized, well-funded NIMBYs with a sympathetic local newspaper prevail against an airport which has a winning track record against the Pentagon? Well, we should know in about a year. An expansion project at John Wayne Orange County Airport in California is providing an example of how even the best plans can become outdated during two decades of red tape. The expansion there started its process way back in 1990. Since it was decided to renovate two existing terminals at the airport, traffic growth is pointing to the need for a new third terminal, which is now part of the $652 million project. The bad news? Any change in a plan allows a new opportunity for delays by NIMBYs. Local neighborhood groups insist the expansion is not needed at John Wayne. Airport spokeswoman Jenny Wedge begs to differ. She tells the Los Angeles Times, quote, "We need the project. We've seen continuous growth overall. Even if our passengers drop 10%, we'll still be putting more passengers through the airport than the original terminals were built for, unquote. Coming up next, Delta says being big is fine for us, but not for you. Boeing is losing a few Dreamliner orders. And that A320 crash happened right after the plane was painted. You're listening to Aero News.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice. We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages?
Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation. Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 2nd. I'm Paul Plack. Delta Airlines has now absorbed Northwest to become the world's biggest airline and has received antitrust exemptions from the federal government to form alliances to extend its reach even further. But Delta has filed a formal objection to a similar antitrust immunity request from Continental Airlines. The Washington Post reports Continental wants to partner with United and Lufthansa on transatlantic flights and eventually on trips to Latin America and Asia. Delta says that would allow unfair dominance on routes to Brazil and China, where Continental and its partners are already successful. Continental spokeswoman Mary Clark responded to the blocking move by Delta, hinting at hypocrisy. Quote, "It looks like another attempt by the world's largest airline to prevent others from competing with it. We are confident the government will see through Delta's attempt to suppress competition," unquote. Continental, Lufthansa, and United are part of the Star Alliance, along with almost two dozen other airlines worldwide. Delta, Air France KLM, Korean Air, and others have an alliance called SkyTeam. Alliances are seen as a path to many of the advantages of a formal merger without all the messy details and may allow collaboration across national borders where mergers would not be allowed. American Airlines, which was recently dethroned as the world's largest by the Delta Northwest merger, has also applied for antitrust immunity so it can partner with British Airways and Spain's Iberia on transatlantic routes. The Wall Street Journal reports Delta plans to cut back a 2005 Northwest order for 18 Boeing 787 Dreamliners. Delta appears to have decided instead it needs more Boeing 777-200 long-range airliners. Delta already has two of those, with eight more coming over the next 3 years. The long-range 777 is expected to be the new Delta flagship, with more being ordered to serve new routes to Johannesburg and Shanghai and to replace thirstier 747s now serving Asia. It's not clear whether the Dreamliner order can be changed without penalty, but Boeing has admitted it will be unable to deliver on 787 orders until at least 15 months later than promised, and that estimate was based on achieving the aircraft's first flight in the fourth quarter of this year. Hopes for meeting that milestone have been dashed by a 57-day strike at Boeing. A revised development schedule for the Dreamliner has not yet been officially announced. Aviation accident investigators are taking a close look at whether the recent repaint of an Air New Zealand Airbus A320 may have contributed to a fatal crash last week that claimed the lives of seven people on board. The A320 suddenly plunged into the Mediterranean Sea during a maintenance checkout flight on November 27th. The Australian newspaper reports a firm in Perpignan, France, had recently painted the aircraft, raising the possibility of a static port or other sensor area that may have been painted over or still masked off. Contradictory evidence includes 2 hours of uneventful flight immediately prior to the tragedy. Crews recovered the plane's cockpit voice recorder over the weekend. They've also located the flight data recorder and hope to recover it shortly. Investigators are hoping the black boxes will offer some more clues. Still ahead, defense contractors promote their role in the economy. The Sierra Super 2 begins deliveries, and the world's highest flying RV4 enters semi-retirement. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, December 2nd. I'm Paul Platt. Marion Blakey raised a few eyebrows when she was FAA administrator when, in a time of deep problems requiring leadership and attention, she launched the FAA Branding Identity Program, including promoting a standardized logo to reduce confusion of the FAA with others in the alphabet soup that is the list of federal agencies. Well, she's now the president and CEO of the Aerospace Industries Association, the major lobbying group for U.S. defense contractors, and is pursuing a marketing campaign there. The Washington Post reports the campaign is titled Aerospace and Defense, The Strength to Lift America. It's being funded by $1.5 million from companies including Boeing, Lockheed Martin, General Dynamics, Northrop Grumman, and Raytheon. The campaign is intended to preload the Obama team with a reminder that his promised defense cuts could undermine one of the few strong domestic U.S. industries during a time of economic crisis. Now, don't look for these ads in Mechanics Illustrated or Cosmo. They'll be placed in the Washington Post, the Congressional Quarterly, and other media read on Capitol Hill. Blakey observes, quote, "There are many industries turning to Washington with expectations. We want it understood that we're not asking for any bailout. We want to make sure they understand we are a strong industry that can propel the economy forward," unquote. Defense analyst Lauren Thompson also hints at a political connection to a special interest courted by Obama during the campaign. Quote, "Aerospace is also one of the few sectors left where industrial unions still have a strong presence," unquote. After a year and a half of design, engineering, and flight testing, Sierra Industries of Uvalde, Texas, has announced the delivery of its first Sierra Super 2, a modified Cessna Citation. Sierra modifies the Citation S2 by removing the factory's Pratt & Whitney engines and replacing them with Williams International FJ44-3As with 2,820 pounds of thrust apiece. The result is improved performance, efficiency, and range, FADEC, and a 27% reduction in emissions. Sierra Industries claims an order backlog lasting well into next year and is the only company certified by the FAA to perform the modification. This new month of December brings many of us happy personal memories, but it also marks the 20th anniversary of the terrorist bombing of Pan Am Flight 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland. On December 21, 1988, all 259 people on board the plane died, along with 11 more on the ground. Within a month, investigators discovered a piece of circuit board the size of a fingertip originating from a bomb. It was found to have come from a suitcase in the plane's luggage compartment. Eventually, a perpetrator was identified, tried, and convicted, and the government of Libya paid a $2.7 billion settlement following its implication in the plot. An upcoming special on the National Geographic Channel will document the investigation, including interviews with UK investigators and FBI bomb analysts. It's called The Final Report, Bombing Over Lockerbie. It airs tomorrow. Nat Geo has also created a special website featuring the incident and the investigation. It'll turn up on the channel's main page tomorrow, but find it early by going to www.nationalgeographic.com and typing Lockerbie in the search box at the top of that page. That's Locker and then B-I-E. And finally, what is probably the most famous Vans kit plane of all time is coming off the road. After breaking an astounding 30 world records, Bruce Bohannon's Flying Tiger is retiring from service. The Exxon Flyin' Tiger is a highly modified RV4. She was introduced at Lakeland in 1999, just 5 months after Bohannon's six-time world record setter, Pushy Galore, was donated to the EAA Air Venture Museum. Over a period of 7 years, Bohannon and the Tiger set 17 performance world records in piston weight class C-1B. They still hold the record for altitude and horizontal flight at 46,919 feet, the absolute altitude record at 47,067 feet, and every time-to-climb world record in its class. The plane also set 13 world records in the unlimited class. But unlike Pushy Galore, don't look for the Exxon Flyin' Tiger to be hanging like a side of beef from some museum ceiling somewhere. Nope. Bohannon and his wife are retiring to their 93-acre airport in rural southeast Texas, where Bruce says he'll keep the Tiger flying. Quote, "She's a piece of aviation history, and I'll do my best to take care of her." Unlike Pushy Galore, this aircraft is a great commuter. Cruising at 17,500 feet, the Tiger burns just 12 GPH at 240 miles an hour, TAS. You just don't ignore a machine like the Flying Tiger, unquote. Bohannon also offers tailwheel checkouts, but don't get any wild ideas. You'll be flying in his Legend Cub, not in the Tiger. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Oscar Garcia, chairman of Interflight Consulting. We'll discuss the market for very light jets in Latin America and the Middle East, and the future for air taxi services. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.